90 Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Biden administration negotiators today begin bargaining with Big Pharma for better prices on the first 10 medications. The administration hopes will reduce costs for Medicare beneficiaries.
White House advisors say it will be the first time Medicare won't just pay whatever price a drug company asks. Instead, the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act is forcing pharmaceuticals to make deals similar to what other countries pay for common drugs, including blood, heart, diabetes, and cancer treatments. The president saying many Republicans are trying to overturn this law, which he says would then cost Americans millions in higher prices.
ABC's Andy Field. The vote 357-70. The House passing and sending to the Senate a $79 billion package of tax cuts. It boosts the child care tax credit, but not to pandemic levels. No change in the cost of money. The Federal Reserve is leaving its benchmark interest rate where it is currently. This is ABC News. ABC's Alex Stone says California is being subjected to another atmospheric river.
It'll be days, maybe even weeks, of nonstop storms like a river of water moving into California, hitting the entire state through the end of next week and maybe even the week after that. Brian Ferguson with the California Office of Emergency Services says there will be flooding and the lights will likely go out in some places.
There is significant opportunities for widespread power outages.
Efforts are underway now to clear out storm drains. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The San Mateo County, California board voted unanimously to declare a public health emergency over loneliness. The board wants to put money toward mental health help and helping adults connect.
No one wants to say, look, I feel I'm lonely.
Since the pandemic, about half of American adults report they are lonely. The San Mateo County, California Board of Supervisors will also ask the state for any help combating loneliness. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.com.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allbolt. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some patchy fog this morning, then it's going to be mostly cloudy through the rest of the day, although we will see a little bit of off and on sunshine at times. Our high right around 40 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 27. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 36. Then on Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
1670 AM, The Zone. If you combine pajamas and rubber boots to check on the barn, we welcome you. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Thursday. I'll tell you what, the burst of energy from Egg Day at the Capitol this week was contagious. The weather was just gorgeous yesterday. It did not feel like January. Wisconsin Farm Bureau says they saw a 20% jump in attendance this year for their Egg Day. Nearly 300 farmers and agriculturists came to the state capitol to learn about state policies that impact their farms and then to speak with their lawmakers. We'll talk about their headline policy later in the hour. But the meetings don't stop there. Today kicks off the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo and the Wisconsin Pork Association annual meeting at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Farm Director Pam Yonke will be broadcasting live from there today. Mild weather for traveling again. We'll see clouds, highs of 43, and then toward the evening, we'll see lows of 27. Friday, those clouds will break to bring in a little sun, highs of 38 degrees. Our ag meteorologist Stu Muck will be with us later in the hour with more of those forecast details. In the spirit of winter conferences, Midwest Farm Report will also make an appearance at the Grassworks Grazing Conference at the Chula Vista in the Wisconsin Dells on Friday. Stick around for a preview.
I've told you a lot of stories about Bavaria sausage over the past couple of years, and now here's one that you might have overlooked. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage. Located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5, and open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, regardless of weather, online at BavariaSausage.com. Listen, I forget to tell you about the community commitment that Bavaria Sausage has. First of all, I want you to know that they aren't selling their products to big box stores. If you want that German authentic flavor, you're going to have to go to the restaurants they cooperate with, the country clubs, the schools. They also are community minded and focused in on fundraisers and small mom and pop stores. That's the backbone of Bavaria Sausage, serving their community with old world tradition. Want to find out more or join their team? Go to BavariaSausage.com, find out more about their staffing opportunities, and follow them online, Bavaria Sausage. Well, today is the beginning of the annual Grassworks Grazing Conference happening at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. The momentum on grazing and taking a look at options has increased across the state of Wisconsin. This conference will focus in not only on the specifics on the different types of blends that a lot of farmers and landowners are looking at, but also the combination that livestock can bring for a lot of farmers and landowners. I talked about it with Dr. Sarah Lloyd. She's with the University of Minnesota, but works here also in Wisconsin. She's part of the Grassworks 2.0 consortium that will be presenting their latest updates at today's Grassworks conference. I spoke with her during the Dairy Strong conference and asked her to give me a little update on how the work's coming along and maybe as importantly, how farmers and landowners are accepting and integrating it.
Yeah, well, the university, I work for the University of Minnesota and a University of Wisconsin project, and the Grassland 2.0 project just started about 5 years ago, but even 10, 15, 20 years ago, there's been a lot of effort to help people look at these systems, problem solve them for their own farms, figure out that they're low input, low cost systems. So especially when margins are really tight, people should really take a look at them for dairy. We're looking at dairy heifer grazing as an innovation in the system where you can get very high quality, high performance animals. The research is showing better first lactation milk with heifers coming off of grass systems. So Grassland 2.0 is helping to get people the technical assistance, think through the risk management that they need to have. We have a lot of great programs coming out of USDA and NRCS right now that can cost share the fencing systems, that can cost share the water systems. And then it's really, you know, people have been doing TMR confinement feeding, and so it is a shift. You got to rethink what's going on. But I think in these days with, like, rethinking manure management, we got to get continuous living cover out on the land. the water quality benefits of getting more acreage into pasture systems is going to really be great at the farm level, but also the watershed level. We have a lot of people working in farmer-led watershed groups. It's great that the state is investing in those, and there's enthusiasm about farmers coming together to solve these problems as a group, yeah. And that's what we're supporting with the project.
Sarah, you're involved in dairy yourself, and you obviously have been a champion for the grazing idea for a while. Tell me about the demographic change you've noticed in the industry. Not just demographics, but also mind frame, because this is not something that generally I hear, Sarah, hallelujah, I'm going to do it tomorrow. It takes some time. Tell me about the demographic change that you've witnessed yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know that the farming community is aging, but we also know that there are people coming up that want to be in farming. And so we need solutions and we need innovations that are going to be interesting to people who like to tinker and problem solve. And so the grazing community is a very vibrant community, really supportive, and we have a lot of assistance around the state for grazers. So I think for young folks that are looking into this, especially because it is a low cost, mm-hmm. low capital startup, that this is why this is really important for the future of dairy and the future of agriculture in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. because we got to figure out these systems. We know a lot of people are leaving milking cows, but they still want to work with animals. They may still have the land base, and they may be bringing a next generation in or a neighbor kid into the system. So why not look at heifer grazing as a viable enterprise? So grass Grassland 2.0 has been developing the economic models where you can go into the dairy heifer compass and you can put in your own numbers and figure out, well, what could I possibly get as a return? And importantly, what are the forage needs that I will have for my animals or animals that I may be custom raising on grass? But it can be done, and we have people doing it across the state, and so we're bringing those folks together to help bring other people into this new systems.
Your point's well taken, too. Great ideas don't just originate in Wisconsin. We're kind of taking a page from other states where Wisconsin cattle have gone mm-hmm. for these very same services.
Right. So we talked to a lot of even larger dairy operations. They've been sending their animals out to Kansas, Nebraska. I've even heard Idaho. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got some big water quantity issues out in the Great Plains and the West. So why not raise those heifers here in Wisconsin, raise them on grass, improve the water quality situation in the watersheds by getting continuous living cover and pasture systems which are going to hold on to those nutrients, not let them run down into our streams and our watersheds. It's a real win-win. And let's in-house that enterprise here in Wisconsin. Your animals are going to be traveling less, yep. which is super stressful on animals. Mm-hmm. So let's set it up here in Wisconsin. I think it's a great opportunity for both larger scale farms that want to send their animals mm-hmm. out, but also folks that want to raise high quality animals as an enterprise.
So they're going to hear this and say, oh, I got this. I know how to grow grass. I got this. Where do our pitfalls generally show up when we start down this path, Sarah? Because again, as I said, you think you got it, and then you start.
Yeah.
And that's when all good ideas start falling apart right there. Where do we trip up normally?
Yeah, so obviously people want to know about, am I going to get enough energy into my animals? Mm-hmm. How am I going to deal with mm-hmm. the breeding? All those things. So Grassland 2.0 is talking with animal nutritionists. We're talking with farmers that have successfully grazed heifers. And we're bringing those folks together to sort of build a community of practice. So we have some events coming up in Wausau, for example. We'll mm-hmm. be at the Tech College on the 24th. We'll feed you lunch. You can come, learn, listen to nutritionists, listen to farmers, talk through any of the issues that people might have. How have people solved, like, the supplementation issues? You know, yeah, you want to have your nutritionists close by so that you can, especially in your first years, you're monitoring this, because we all want high-quality animals, mm-hmm. And we want to figure out how to be good managers of the forage and the grass system. So those are two things, but we're bringing those folks together. We have another event in February in Manitowoc on the 27th, where please have people come, learn, discuss concerns or things you want to troubleshoot around the systems. And the good news is that there's a lot of technical assistance resources that are coming into the state, both at the state level and the federal level, where people in your counties can write your grazing plans for you. You can get technical assistance from USDA, Natural Resource Conservation Service. There's just a lot of opportunity right now. And with the tight margins, with some of the higher input systems, this is a really good time for people to look at these pasture systems.
Every farm is different, but what have we come to understand are some of the best mixes, for example, Sarah, that I have to start thinking about? It's not like I throw the seed out there and kick the heifers out the same day. So what should I start thinking about as far as rotating a field towards a pasture and the different kinds of combinations that are prevalent, like you said, thanks in large part to those assistance programs? What seems to be a nice fit for Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of mixes out there. So Grassworks, which is one of the grazing communities, nonprofit groups, has a mix that they offer. But definitely talk with your local seed dealers. There's a lot of research going on right now on this forage quality coming off of managed pasture. So the Marshfield Ag Research Station, we have a great opportunity in Wisconsin. We have the USDA Dairy Forage Research Center. So there's a lot out there. So I think, like, yes, you got to find the mixes that'll work well for you, the animal outcomes that you want, but also for your soil type, because we all know, like, everyone's farm is very different. And so I would encourage people to talk with their county conservationists. Extension has a lot of grazing planners now, and to really think through what's going to be a seed mix and a pasture implementation and renovation plan that's going to work for your farm. But the what you need is out there.
You know, quality of life is the other thing, Sarah, that we're alluding to, but we're not speaking to it. That's another issue that many people bring up, regardless of age, in Wisconsin agriculture. What are you learning about that and this kind of a plan?
Yeah, so in Grassland 2.0, we're not only thinking about the economic and ecological outputs, we're thinking about the social outputs. What is a good quality of life for farmers? What will make our communities vital and vibrant? And for that, we need more farmers, not fewer farmers. And certainly, in speaking with folks that are doing managed grazing, many of them talk about the fact that they're not in the tractors as much. They are out moving animals maybe once a day. They're moving fence. They're enjoying being outside, because that's one of the big benefits of farming, is that you really get to be outside, and we all care about the land. And so I think the grazing systems can also just be a bit of a de-stressor. We all know farming's stressful, but it's a different system, and I really encourage people to take a look at it. The folks that have gone into it all talk about how it was a big de-stressor in their life to be outside more. People getting a better margin on their farm, maybe they're not working off farm as much. Maybe they have some more time to be with their family and their cows.
Definitely an option that a lot of farmers and landowners are considering. They'll learn more at the Grassworks Grazing Conference today through Saturday at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. That's Dr. Sarah Lloyd, like she said, working with the University of Minnesota as well as the University of Wisconsin, trying to come up with solutions, with options, with alternatives for folks that own land, own livestock, and want to bring the two together. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Farmers hit the road for Corn Soy Expo, the Grassworks Grazing Conference, all kicking off today in the Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah, a lot of travel plans, you know, heading up toward Green Bay for the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters Convention. Just stuff going on everywhere, and travel really isn't a problem aside from fog. And that's one we have to keep in mind today. There is a little cool front dropping south in Wisconsin. It's less some kind of cloudy, foggy, misty stuff in western and central Wisconsin. Dense fog advisories this morning, extending all the way up from south of La Crosse, far southwest Wisconsin, up into the central part of the state, Stevens Point, Wausau, back toward Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and back to southern Minnesota. So expect that there could be a lot more fog in those areas, and it may be freezing on the roadways or your back step or on that windshield. Could make things a little dicey this morning. The rest of us just talking about some clouds, and I'd expect that through the day as a weak front drops right south through and out of Wisconsin, that our skies may clear a little bit even later today, and temperatures are going to cool just a few degrees to wrap up the week. Still way above normal for this time of the year, and I expect that moderation returns through the weekend. Sunshine and more mild air returning, sounding fantastic. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
The fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke will be broadcasting live from the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo on Thursday, February 1st with the DeLong Company. Stop by booth 421 and 423 to learn about the DeLong Company's new crop insurance division. As an independent agency, their crop insurance team has decades of experience and are able to find the right coverage for your fields. Stop by 421 and 423 at Corn Soy Expo or visit DelcoCropInsurance.com.
Stu, it just hasn't felt like January with the fog and the balminess outside. I was driving through downtown Madison, and I was shocked to see that people were ice fishing on Lake Monona. Some people were ice skating. I should have been paying closer attention to the road, but I was freaked out that someone was going to fall through. So any indication, though, that we are going to get another cold spell or that it will feel like winter?
Oh, I think we all know a lot of us have been here all of our lives. We know that cold air is going to return, but just not in the near future. I don't see it in the forecast here on through most of next week. Just a very mild spell indeed, an early February to remember for how nice it is, how easy it is, I guess, to get by. Not great for our outdoor recreation, but we just have to be careful. Remember, no ice is safe. use a lot of caution out there. The dense fog advisory in western and central Wisconsin till around 10 or 11 this morning, and otherwise foggy in those areas, mostly cloudy other spots, but the clouds will be thinning. It will get brighter as the day progresses. Expect temps today in the lower 40s, could be a little warmer in the west, and our winds gradually shifting to the north and northeast today. Watch that, about 5 to 10. Overnight, we all get a little cloud blanket, and that holds us on in the upper 20s or about 30 for lows, not too bad. Northeast winds about 5 to 10. And then there's Friday, partly sunny skies brightening up. A lot of upper 30s, maybe a 40 here or there, but it's going to be a struggle. East winds 5 to 10. And by Saturday, with more sunshine in the 40s. Low to mid 40s. I expect about the same for Sunday with sunshine, Stephanie. Southeast breeze about 5 to 10. Should be a really nice, comfortable weekend if you've got chores outside. You know, working in the low 40s is pretty nice in early February.
I agree. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. And hey, you're not going to want to go anywhere. We're talking about the cattle numbers that are in from USDA. Historic lows. We'll talk more about it later in the hour with Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. And hey, it's a Thursday. We'll also catch up with EverAg.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a big year for the Fox Cities Chamber.
Everything we do will have the 150th incorporated in it.
Chamber Executive VP of Marketing Laura Wiegert joined Mino and the Mayor to celebrate and share some history.
There was a Menasha Chamber, a Nina Chamber. They merged. The Appleton-Nina-Menasha Chambers merged in 1976.
Wiegert says events will be happening all year to take a look back at the Fox Cities and look forward to more success for the area.
We just want to tell our story. For us, that's a big
thing. Absolutely.
Because as the mayor said, people just don't know what chambers do and who they are. And we want people to know how we impact the community.
Congratulations on 150 years. You can learn more about the anniversary at foxcitieschamber.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Mayer.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Mayer on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Biden administration negotiators today begin bargaining with Big Pharma for better prices on the first 10 medications the administration hopes will reduce costs for Medicare beneficiaries.
White House advisors say it will be the first time Medicare won't just pay whatever price a drug company asks. Instead, the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act is forcing pharmaceuticals to make deals similar to what other countries pay for common drugs, including blood, heart, diabetes, and cancer treatments. The president's saying many Republicans are trying to overturn overturn this law, which he says would then cost Americans millions in higher prices.
ABC's Andy Field. The vote 357-70. The House passing and sending to the Senate a $79 billion package of tax cuts. It boosts the child care tax credit, but not to pandemic levels. No change in the cost of money. The Federal Reserve is leaving its benchmark interest rate where it is currently. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the legislature. They got a hearing Wednesday. GOP lawmakers want to require universities to offer help to students based on need, not race.
One of the main effects that this bill will have is that it will put race hustlers out of business. Talking about how one person deserves one thing or another based on their race will never solve the problem.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. GOP lawmakers want to curtail some of Governor Evers' veto power. They're proposing a constitutional amendment to bar the governor from using a partial veto to increase any taxes or fees. Evers used his partial veto last July to increase limits on how much public schools can raise every year for the next 400 years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Trailblazers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Portland Trailblazers led through most of the game. Milwaukee coming up short at the end. The final, Portland 119, the Bucks 116. Doc Rivers now 0-2 as the Bucks head coach.
We went in that stretch where the turnovers, every guy was trying to win the game for us. That's great, but it doesn't work. You can't just do it on your own. You got to keep playing with each other.
The Bucks are in Dallas Saturday night to play the Mavericks, then Salt Lake City Sunday night against the Utah Jazz. Men's college basketball, the number 6 Badgers in Nebraska tonight. Greg Gard says that's a tough place to play. The Cornhuskers have yet to lose a Big Ten game at home, thanks to the fans.
I mean, you go all the way back to when they first joined the league. We went there in 2014 on No Sit Sunday, or whatever they called it. So I don't know what Thursday will be. I have some ideas, but you probably can't print them.
On Sunday, Wisconsin hosts number 2 ranked Purdue. Tickets already sold out for that one at the Kohl Center. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Oboe. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some patchy fog this morning, then it's going to be mostly cloudy through the rest of the day, although we will see a little bit of off and on sunshine at times. Our high right around 40, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 27, tomorrow partly cloudy, 36, then on Saturday partly cloudy with a high of 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point. And I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did. And you know, if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. Oh. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news,
and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News Today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
45-1 to win it all, and now 1 year removed, Aaron Rodgers Achilles, Packers and Jordan Love playing well down the stretch. Packers are 25-1. Jets are 30-1.
Wow, look at that.
Did the chickens come home to roost last night? We'll find out. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Stephanie Hoff back along with you on a Thursday morning. And you know what that means? Our friends at EverEgg are due to join us later in the hour with insights on both the cattle report and dairy markets. Today in the Old Farmer's Almanac, February 1st is supposed to be a good day for a few things. The first is, wherever you don't want to grow hair because of the moon stage, today is the day you should cut that hair. That's right, February 1st is the day to cut hair to discourage growth. But please don't tell us where that hair is. On a totally different note, if you're thinking about getting hitched, today is the day. February 1st is one of the best days to get married in 2024. I doubt that you had planned to get married on a Thursday, but hey, the courthouse is open. Again, this is according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. So whether you are cutting hair, getting married, or traveling to the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, the weather continues to stay mild. We'll see cloudy skies, highs in the mid-40s, and toward the evening, we'll see lows in the upper 20s. Friday for the Grassworks Grazing Conference at Chula Vista in the Dells, those clouds will break to bring in some sun, highs of 38 degrees. And I'll tell you what, it was a beautiful day for Ag Day at the Capitol this week. Nearly 300 Farm Bureau members gathered in Madison to learn more about state issues affecting agriculture and then to meet with their state legislators in the Capitol. Farm Bureau's Executive Director of Governmental Relations, Jason Munyaini, says they've seen a significant increase in attendance this year.
Things like health plans, things like protect our farms, those types of kind of really engaging policies that we really need to be able to protect farming for the future is why we've seen such an incredible growth this year. We're about 20% higher in attendance than we were last year, and this isn't a non-budget year, which typically there's a little bit of a lull just based on kind of the way things shake out, but we're looking to close to 300 individuals this year. I think there's a lot of engagement. I think the people who have not been engaged before are coming to the table. This year, we've, for the first time ever, we covered all the registration costs for our Collegiate Farm Bureau members to come and attend. And we saw people from all three of our Collegiate Farm Bureau chapters come and attend today.
As he said, the strong focus on health care drove attendance this year. The legislation that Farm Bureau is proposing would allow the organization to provide members with a unique and affordable health coverage plan option. Jason has the details.
The main reason that we're here asking for a health plan is because the health care options in Wisconsin really haven't easily met the needs for farmers. Farmers are kind of left with this choice of having to send somebody off the farm to go and get a job in town to have access to health care, paying full freight for the Affordable Care Act, or making the decision to go uninsured. The way that farm income is calculated is for the ACA, it kind of adds some of the depreciations and debt services back into somebody's income so that they're artificially inflated. And a lot of the times that pushes them out of a subsidy eligibility. So they're stuck paying full freight. On top of that, farm income is so volatile. Let's just, you know, just look at what happened with Class 3 milk prices over the past 3 years. So you have a moving target for that subsidy eligibility, which creates kind of a disincentive for farmers to get insurance through the Affordable Care Act. We think that we provide an opportunity for an existing product already available to thousands of families across the U.S. through Farm Bureau as a more consistent cost that people can really budget for over the long term. And I think that really is what's going to make sure that farmers have the ability to stay home, continue farming, and have a high quality health care.
And this is something that Wisconsin Farm Bureau has picked up from other states. So you're not alone in trying to seek out a Farm Bureau health plan.
Yeah, so there's seven other states. Tennessee has been operating the longest. They've been operating since 1947. And we see that the states that have this, a lot of their farm members, Indiana just put out a press release the other day that of their new policies this past year, 73% of them were previous Farm Bureau members. So we know that this is something that farmers want, farmers need, and we're going to be able to kind of just turnkey a product that already exists that legislators can review and analyze. We're not going to change anything that's currently offered for those programs to what we would take on. This would really be an opportunity to have Farm Bureau very quickly provide a healthcare product to its members as a benefit.
If you could put a percentage on it, how many of your members do you think would take advantage of a Farm Bureau health plan?
It's tough to say, but I think that for the size of our Farm Bureau, the community that we have, and kind of just looking at the market analysis, I'm really hoping that we kind of get somewhere between that 7,500 to 10,000 range. But I mean, I think people will kind of ebb and flow over the years, different opportunities, kind of go. And I think that this would be something for those families that do want to farm full time with both people on the farm and raising their families. This is a great option so that they don't have to make business decisions out of necessity. They can make them out of want.
Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization, so what the members need and want makes their way to you to get to work at the state capitol. So give me an example of a conversation you've had with a Farm Bureau member who would stand to benefit from this. What type of farm, what size, what range of income?
So actually, that's funny that you bring this up. This happened to me totally by happenstance. I was at our annual meeting. And I was sitting at kind of one of the tables, closer to the front and with a couple of board members and their families and significant others. And one of the people who was there was the, partner of one of our board members. And he is chatting, young guy, and he was chatting with me and saying, I farm with my family and I'm uninsured. I'm 27. I'm hoping to take over the farm one day, but trying to save up some money for new equipment and for, being able to pay some of that that farmland off. So I'm just trying to save money. I'm a healthy guy, so I'm uninsured. And for a person like that, this is a great opportunity. This provides them a high level of coverage. It gives them access to the things that they're going to need. If they want to start raising a family, their family can come onto a Farm Bureau health plan really easily, bringing on kids. One kid is the same as 12 kids under Farm Bureau health plans, so that's not a challenge. And, because they have an income that kind of meets that threshold for not having a subsidy eligibility, they won't have to pay full freight for the ACA. Our plans are between 30 and 60% less expensive for people than what you would get in an unsubsidized ACA plan.
We're catching up with Jason Muniaini. He's the Executive Director of Governmental Relations with Wisconsin Farm Bureau. The big push at the state capitol this week for Ag Day was this Farm Bureau health care plan.
The fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke will be broadcasting live from the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo on Thursday, February 1st with the DeLong Company. Stop by booth 421 and 423 to learn about the DeLong Company's new crop insurance division. As an independent agency, their crop insurance team has decades of experience and are able to find the right coverage for your fields. Stop by 421 and 423 at Corn Soy Expo or visit DelcoCropInsurance.com.
And now we'll take a look at our markets on a Thursday morning. From Chicago, cash corn is down 3.5 cents at 4.44¾. December new crop corn is trading down 2.5 cents at 4.77½. Cash beans are down 7¾ cents at 12.14½. And November new crop beans are down 6 cents at 11.93¾. Cash wheat is down 6.5 cents at 5.88¾. And July new crop wheat is down 6¼ at 6.04 a bushel. Moving on to our dairy markets, the February Class 3 milk contract is trading up 3 cents at 16.13 a hundredweight. The March contract is down 13 cents at 16.78 a hundredweight. If we look ahead to the April contract, that's down 8 cents at 17.12. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese was down a penny at $1.52. The 40-pound block cheese closed up a quarter of a cent at $1.65. And AA butter closed down 3¾ cents at $2.76½. Historic numbers this week from the latest cattle report from USDA. It shows that cattle and calves inventory continues to decline in this current cattle cycle. Inventory peaked in 2019, and today we're at historic lows. The National Agricultural Statistics Service says the previous lowest U.S. cattle and calves inventory was in 1951 at 82.1 million head. 2024 inventory is at 87.2 million. Kurt Larson is the president and CEO of Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. He says he doesn't know when these numbers will turn around.
This is going to be a long-term fix. We're looking at several years. This is, you know, again, our cow numbers, cow herd is the lowest it's been since 51. We've got the smallest calf crop we've had since 41. Prices are still pretty good on the slaughter side, so you're still going to see a lot of these heifers going into the feedlots just because they've got enough value there. So it's going to take a long time to get this herd built back up.
And if you're like me, wondering what this is going to do to beef prices at the grocery store, Kurt says low beef supply doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to break the bank.
Well, I mean, it depends on what the demand is. Obviously, if there's product to be moved, the retailers get creative on how to do that. So, it depends on what cut you're looking for. You know, some of those high demand cuts are gonna continue to hold their value. Some of the maybe lesser demanded cuts, they're still gonna see some sales on those. And it's just a matter of what your appetite's for. And if you're willing to be a little bit flexible, I'm sure there'll be some deals out there to be had.
Kurt Larson along with us, president and CEO of Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. We'll talk more about it with EverAg broker analyst Matt Tranel coming your way next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, weeknights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, fine.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
We primed our conversation already this morning by pointing out the historically low cattle numbers and the latest USDA cattle report. I know that's something that you wanted to touch on today, and I had to ask, did anything surprise you in that report?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest surprise was without a doubt the revisions that took place. I think everybody would agree that cattle numbers are low both in the beef industry and also in the dairy cow industry, but specifically in the milk replacement heifer category. And so many had thought that there would be a large drawdown in numbers, but to see them actually pop up in 2023 versus the 2024 numbers was a little bit of a surprise. When we look back at 2023, ultimately the milk replacement heifer number was sitting at 4,340,000. And with this revision that we saw yesterday in the 2024 report, they actually dropped the 2023 numbers down to about 4.1 million. And so they took 250,000 head. And we pay very close attention to the expected to calve as we're looking for the next crop to really get infused into the milking herd. And so last year we were looking at that being right around 2.7 and change. In the 2024 revision, they took the 2023 numbers down to about 2.6 million. So they were off about 150,000. And that really does explain maybe some of the rhetoric in the physical market with dairymen saying that they can't find two-year-old heifers ready to come into the milking herd, or if they can find them, they're having to pay up for them pretty extremely. So that was the biggest surprise. Beef cows were down about 2%. Milk cows were down about 40,000 head. That was shown in the milk production report. Those weren't a big surprise to us, but the heifer numbers, specifically when the revision happened, was the biggest surprise.
Matt, any general predictions on what these numbers will do this week to the market, whether it's just in cattle or whether that's going to cross over into dairy?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of these numbers are already built in, just based purely off of the futures market. The futures market is always trying to estimate and put a number on when shortages are going to happen, whether that's in supply, whether that's in demand. And so you might get a little bit of a bump both in the cattle markets and also the dairy markets. But for the most part, this has been something that's been talked about quite a while in the dairy space, and that there's no heifers and dairies as a result are a little bit bullish just based upon that long term.
Matt, let's switch commodities here now. I know cheese has been on your mind this week. I'm sure it is all the time, but we did see a lift in price on the close on Monday. So does that mean that we're starting to gain traction with buyers?
So I do think that we are finding some traction in buyers, but I do still think that there's quite a bit of volume to be sold on the CME Spot Dairy Index. We've really been in a downturn on cheese since August, and we saw a little pop in October, but quite frankly, we took prices all the way down to this 140, 150 area. When you look at our price versus the world, Oceania's up around 190, and the European Union's around 205. In November, we chipped off some really good export deals. And then as of recent, like 2 weeks ago, there was said to be some export deals that were getting done. And so, yeah, I do think we've cleaned up our spot inventory a little bit. However, there's been a lot of processing that's come online that has maybe replaced some of our other cheese processors' cheese. And that cheese coming from those other processors is starting to come to the CME Spot Dairy Index, which is providing volume to anybody that wants it. But it does seem like these exports that have taken place has kind of lit maybe a little bit of a bid underneath it, although I'd be careful on my expectations of how high I would think it could go.
Yeah, and where are these export deals coming into play? Do we know?
So we've been exporting quite a bit all year long to Mexico, partly because of their peso being stronger. They have more buying power. But as of recent, they really haven't been announced. But generally speaking, when you're talking that type of price discrepancy, you're usually talking about the Southeast Asia market. So that's where I'd assume that some of these came from.
And Matt, you take all of this information and you boil it down for farmers in need of some risk management advice and protecting dairy farms' bottom line. Curious what calls you've been getting when it comes to risk management and the advice that you've been getting out there during a period of tight margins.
Yeah, so we've picked up, you really have to separate it into a couple different buckets. So for folks that have been hedged for quite a while and at good values, it's looking at managing the hedges. It's looking at hedging into the Q3 period in case this maybe a little brief rally doesn't sustain itself and we go back to maybe some levels that we've seen in December and January. So it's kind of picking off some hedges further out into the Q3 period specifically. For dairies that haven't been well hedged, it's become a little bit of a scary period of time as they start to pick up some of their January and December checks that they just received. For those dairies, we're just looking at trying to capture any type of rally that comes into play, whether that's using the insurance tools, whether that's using the CME to kind of build a floor, more so as catastrophic coverage, trying to leave upside in case this thing does get better.
Matt Tranel along with us. He's a broker analyst from Everegg. I'm Stephanie Hoff. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Thursday morning. And plan to tune in tomorrow. We visit with a group that gives assistance to small meat processors around the country.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
TH Agrochemicals has more than 40 years of experience of their family helping your family find the best agriculture chemicals and fertilizers at the most economical prices. As an independent dealer and distributor, TH Agrochemicals has a diverse line of agriculture chemicals available without breaking the bank. Be sure to visit their booth at the Corn Soy Expo at booth 303 or visit thagrochemicals.com. TH Agrochemicals. Good people to grow with. At the Midwest Farm Report, we bring the heart of agriculture into your homes every day. From our e-newsletter to agribusiness news, we've got you covered at themidwestfarmreport.com. I'm Charity Seebecker, and thanks for listening.
From I-43 to I-41,
this is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Farmers are an important part of the equation for ag tech company Benson Hill. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Headquartered in St. Louis, Benson Hill is a seed technology company that tries to move toward a food system that benefits farmers, consumers, and the planet. Working mostly with soybeans and yellow peas, the focus is on protein and oil. Aaron Robinson is VP of Product Management.
Historically, we've run what we call a closed-loop program where we own the crush assets. We're owning the seed production, the contracting with the grower, the crush of that product, and then ultimately the sale of the ingredient. We're expanding that business model to make our technology more broadly available.
Not many farmers are used to the idea of being contract producers, which, says Robinson, is sort of the point Benson Hill is trying to make.
I think our technologies are a really good opportunity for farmers to diversify beyond kind of commoditization or commodity production, really an opportunity for them to participate potentially farther downstream, really understand the soybeans that they're growing or the yellow peas that they're growing on their farm, where they end up at the end. Can you find them on the grocery store shelf? So I think it's a really unique opportunity that way.
You can learn more at BensonHill.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.